Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. We are now in season four with over 1,300 recordings that are being watched and heard around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished entrepreneur from the US, Ladon Townsend. Ladon, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Ash, for having me here today. This is great. I'm so excited about this conversation.
Thank you. Ladon is the CEO of the VOS Group, and today we're going to talk about all the wonderful things she's doing in her business group. So, Ladon, tell me a little bit about the VOS Group and the work you do.
So the VOS Group was created out of a situation I was in after being downsized from corporate America back in 2014 mm-hmm. that ended my over 20 years as an executive in corporate America. Okay. And I was a fixer in corporate. And I wanted to bring that skill set out into the marketplace to help leaders be able to not use laying people off as an excuse to make budget and really to accelerate their organization. So our company is known as fixers, whether it be your people process or your profitability, we go in and fix that. And VOS is our pillar system, which stands for vision, optimization, and then strategy.
Amazing.
So we've been honored to work with companies in the US, in India, in West Africa, and really look forward to expanding to the Middle East and Asia over the next year or so.
Amazing, amazing. And, you know, since you started this only 8 years ago, and you seem to be all over, and we'll talk about the VOS University also, what have been some of your challenges and learnings as you have built this business?
Oh, how much time do we have? So here's number one, and what I teach my clients. The leader must have a life outside the business.
Well said.
And, you know, that was a lesson learned from coming as an executive in corporate for over 20 years where, you know, you work, sometimes you work on Saturdays, you work at 5 a.m., you work at 8 p.m. And one of the biggest motivators for me in my business, believe it or not, is I wanted to be able to take Fridays off. It just, that seemed like Christmas to me if I could do that every week because I wasn't used to that. I mean, I came right out of high school into corporate and worked it for over 20 years. And so the biggest lesson I've learned is you have got to have a life outside of the business.
Right.
Now, I'm not perfect in that. Trust me, it is, it's still a lesson. The second thing is you must have quality team members.
Yeah.
That can do the job.
Yeah.
So many times I hear from whether it's a small business or whether it is a Fortune 500 company,
correct.
It is challenging for leaders to let go of employees that are probably nice people, but are ineffective in the job. And it then creates a tension and a frustration, and it doesn't give the brand reputation of the management to their employees a good reputation. So you have to have people that can do the job. If you want to call them family, great, but make sure they could do the job. And then the third, and this is something I teach my clients all the time, is a leader, I had to learn, you must have a vision for where you want your organization to go and how you can serve your clients bigger and better, not massive scaling. I'm not saying become a 200 person, you know, firm, but you've got to know where you're going because people want to come alongside and on the journey. They want to jump on the train with you when they see that you're doing that. And the reason for that is as a CEO, I need that excitement. I need to know what's next. I don't do stagnant very well. And so those have been lessons I've learned over the past 8 years that I constantly remind myself of coming back to. And when I feel like things get a bit off or my energy has shifted, I go back to, am I living what's important to me as a leader of this business?
Amazing, amazing. And what amazing 3 points, you know, have a life outside, build a quality team, and have a vision. Thank you for sharing these.
Thank you.
So moving on now, Ladon, when I was reading about you, you said that you improve company performance through a multiplicity of topics, which is operational excellence, which includes pivot, security, operations, revenue, and employees, and also your human-centric customer experience. help me understand each one of these and share an example if you can.
Oh, love that. So it all begins with the vision for the organization. So one of the things that we talk about human-centric is what is the experience that you want your clients and your employees to have, the people inside and out. So I'll be very specific. You know, your clients are the ones that give you a monetary exchange. The people inside are from the front line to your C-suite, to your board and your investors, for those that are in that category. And so when we come in to really take a look at how we can improve a company, whether it's a process improvement, whether it is sales and marketing, whether it is something with people, it all is connected together like the cells in our body. So if the left arm doesn't know what the right arm is doing, then everything just is floppy. So we have to know how all of it works together. And most consultants, when they're working with an org, they'll come in and look at one piece. But we do need to know to a degree, what are the other pieces? Because if we create one process here, we want it to fit like a puzzle on the other side. So it's working together.
Very interesting. And when you talk of pivoting for operational excellence, now, when it comes to startups, pivoting really means trying to build a new business plan. But when you talk of established companies, how do they pivot?
Through the leadership, top of house.
Okay.
So leadership has been an area we've always taught about in our organization. When we first have an engagement with the client, we ask the question of what's the vision. There naturally in 9 out of 10 cases will be a redefinition needed about leadership. It's really the people. I tell people, you know, if it was just the processes that were disengaged or gaps, you wouldn't really need us. It's really the people that we work with. And so when it comes to that and being able to pivot, it's helping an organization, especially those that are, I would say, conglomerates that have a established brand. They have to be able to move more agile. They need to be able to think and move like entrepreneurs. And many times they're not thinking of that because they believe that it's all good in Camelot. Because cash flow is there, their profit margins may be decreasing, but they're established. And that is a dangerous place for organizations to be because you're not looking at what's next. When we look at history, there was a time where Nokia was one of the top cell phone companies. Nobody really knew about Apple. Yep. And now look at it. There was a time where Pan Am Airlines was the luxury go-to airlines. Yep. And then look what happened. And more recently, there's two examples. We have years ago where Blockbuster laughed Netflix out of the room when they came to them wanting to merge, right? And now look at Blockbuster. And then we have Amazon, who merged with Whole Foods, but we all know it was a massive acquisition that happened. And so when you're not thinking as to what's next, that is when your company is in danger. Now, for the startup side of it, two things startups should be looking at. How can I generate revenue, not funding? Because the funding has to be paid back. We've seen the stories where some startups churn through. I think the highest number I saw was 65 million in under 18 months they churned through.
Wow.
Now, it's one thing to get funding. It's another to get revenue. And so as startups are beginning their business, the pivot I tell them to make is to pause, come outside of your office, give yourself an hour or two and answer these three questions. Number one, does our product or service fit the true need of our clients? Number two, what is the next thing that they're going to need from us and can we meet that need? And number three, and this may sound like common sense, who is our competition? There are so many startups that look nearly identical to other people in their industry. You have got to be a change agent and come up with something that is truly different. Because when that is done, you'll stand out to investors, you'll stand out to clients. So those are two areas that people, but it all boils down, Ash, to leadership. It to giving ourselves time as leaders to really think, is this right? What am I seeing? What does the data see? What does, you know, I love it when people want to start a new product and they say, well, we have to do market research. So it's going to take 6 months and 1,000 people. What if you're in tech and you just go to your local mall and you walk around and you just ask people that you see with a cell phone, what do they like about their cell phone? Or if you're a fashion designer, you go out and say, you know, you look amazing. Why did you pick that outfit? In 10 minutes, you can get on the ground information that
That's right.
didn't cost you thousands of dollars to hire a market research firm,
All
and
right.
then later go do that. But this is thinking agile. One of the things as businesses that I love the fact that I had to bootstrap my business from the ground up, that I was turned down for funding over 30 times in 12 months because it forced me to get over my fear of sales. It forced me to understand my relationship with money. It forced me to be able to communicate clearly on what I did and to be able to really stand out in the room. It forced me to be able to do that. The challenge with those that have funding, that have teams, that are established business, is the hunger gets taken away a bit. The fire gets dimmed a bit. And so then it becomes a lot of red tape and a lot of process. And then all of a sudden, the strategy plan that we came out with for the next year and you funded, and then everyone was in place and all of the projects, 2 years later, there's no return on investments, right? And this is happening with organizations,
That's it.
and it must stop.
Very interesting. Let's now talk a little bit about people. People are biggest assets of any organization, and yet there's been a paradigm change in the way people are looking at their work after the pandemic. I'd love to get your perspective on what are the challenges the WASC Group has seen with people with in your clients.
Well, lean in, everyone. I'm going to give you some inside scoop about this, and I love this question. So before the pandemic, our typical business model was, you know, flying out to a company, being in their room. You know, right before the pandemic, I was in India working with some amazing clients. So thankful I was able to make it home because it was right around that time
I
frame
know,
when everything
yes.
got locked down. And I love India, by the way, so I have to come back. I think I traveled to four different states in 8 days. I got my frequent flyer miles in. But here's the deal. So in early 2020, when the pandemic was really here, we reached out to clients and said, how are you doing? And we heard amazing feedback. We heard the top three things from leaders. Now, these are traditional business models, meaning 80% of them were not online businesses. They were manufacturers. They had commercial real estate. They were a traditional business model. What the leaders were saying was that, number one, that they didn't have the team that they thought they did. Number two, they're not sure if they're going to keep the doors open. And number three, they wanted a different life for themselves. Because in the beginning, you know, everybody was at the dinner table at six because you couldn't go outside, or, you know, everyone was working remote. And so that opened up a dialogue for a show that we started on our YouTube channel called Critical Conversations in the C-Suite, just to talk to leaders. Now, the brilliant thing about this is one of the silver linings, if I could say, from COVID, is it made people really think more about people. You know, the things that you would get upset about in the office, or gossip about Nancy or Saul or whoever it is. Maybe Nancy lost her mom, or maybe Saul is just recovering. People are injured. One of my colleagues is a executive of a very large organization in India. I think he has 10 or 30,000 direct reports that fall under his org. And we were talking about just how do you navigate that type of change with so many people. And what I found from leaders over the course of the 8 years we've been in business, but the most immediate 2.5 years, is that there's a different sense of people. And so from those conversations, we started teaching more about our leadership method called recalibrate leadership, because leaders were now really open to hearing about it. We've been talking about it for years because their people are stressed, their people are losing people. They themselves, some companies, you email Bob 2 weeks ago and Bob's Pat. I mean, it's just real stuff. So the biggest thing I have found is that leaders are wanting to lead differently, and they're wanting to understand what I call soul-centered leadership, right? Where it's not a mission statement or a pop statement to say, we're going to have this culture, we're going to have good employee culture, we're going to be diverse, equity, and inclusion. Like all of those are terms, but we've taught for 8 years that if you do it right from the beginning, then you don't need to have a mission statement or a cause for this or the other because it's just a part of the fabric of your company. And that's been one of the biggest things. So we're so excited now because leaders are now saying, okay, I don't know what I don't know. And I don't even know if maybe I came across a certain way to people. How do I switch it? Especially here in the US when we have the resurgence of the conversation about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and around the death of George Floyd, and so many things have happened, and so many situations of even from a political standpoint, I tell people it's not about the left or the right. It's about how do you bring people together. I
Correct.
was recently interviewed on a publication out of the UK, and they asked me, "Well, what's your view on this and this or such and such?" And I said, "You know, I don't have the luxury of having an opinion on the left or the right, because I serve people who work on the left and the right.
Well said.
And one comment from me, there could be someone that I'm supposed to work with to help them in their position, but because we're such a tagline culture, that if they hear that, they may say, oh, I can't work with her because she may not understand. So I don't have that luxury because my calling is to support those on the left and the right
Correct.
to help them be good leaders.
Correct. Fascinating. Fascinating. So I'm now going to move to the Voss University. Tell me about the Voss University. What got you to start, and what kind of education do you impart?
So Voss University has been around for about 4 years now, and it was a result of us having to offer additional ways for our clients to work with us because the good thing about being a fixer in the beginning of my business is I had a very full schedule of private clients. But I found, number one, this wasn't scalable. And number two, this is going against my number one rule of I need to have a life, and I can't have a life if my calendar is full with meetings. And so what we started to do was come up with ways to be able to provide that training. And then also it helps to scale our business. So Voss University is the go-to resource for leaders who want to accelerate their organization, whether it is on topics of sales, on understanding your money story. On for startups, we have our business fundamentals course to help you create a profitable business. Market expansion. We now have our leadership series that's coming out, our Recalibrate Leadership. And it is a way for organizations that don't have a training library to be able to use ours as well to help support their team.
Very interesting. And when you say that you're able to help corporate CEOs to learn a few things about how to build businesses, can you give me an example of someone you have worked with without giving any names?
Yes, I have. So I'm going to give you two examples. One was an organization we worked with that was really wanting to get, was preparing themselves for the investor funding, right? The different rounds of fundings. It's a very intense process. And so when we were going through that, of course, I'm not an attorney. I said, work with your attorney, but as a CEO, keep this in mind. Any relationship you get in, anyone who wants to invest, does it align to your vision for your business and your life? Because I've known many companies that have received investors, even if the investors do not have a primary share or ownership of the company. If you are not clear on the boundaries, you will get an audit of your business. They will give you ideas of what to change. You will have to run all your marketing past them. It becomes a bit too much. And so through that process, what we identified is that organization could actually bring in the amount that they needed if they were to focus on improving their sales team. And so that's the route. They said, we're going to go this route to see if we can hit our target. And then we'll think about the investment. So that was one. And the other was really helping leaders. It never fails when we work with leaders, especially privately, that there is some talent within their organization they identify that either needs to be aligned to a new position or they need to help find a position outside of their organization. And so, I've had the honor, Ash, of having clients, share some of the most transparent things with me that very tough decisions, whether laying people off or whether keeping them, whether saying yes to investors or no, whether closing the business after 40 years or not. And so in those decisions, what we have found is really our clients at the end of the day, I tell you got to make the call. You got to pull the trigger. I'm here to help and guide you. But it is through our strategy and our 12-point process of recalibrating leadership that we get them to see their business differently and to make better decisions.
Fascinating. Laurent, I've got time for two more questions.
Okay.
And my next question is about for you personally. You said you started work soon after high school, and then you worked in corporate America, and then you became an entrepreneur. What would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
The first one is when I'm still on this journey, but it's a personal one, where I have lost seven dress sizes over probably about a 8 year
Amazing.
span,
Wow.
and kept them off. Now, earlier in my 20s, I was diagnosed with a medical condition that one out of every four women have, and your body essentially works like a diabetic. And so through understanding food, through understanding what's really in our food, well, here in the States, I was able to do that. And that was a huge milestone for
Amazing.
me because, and there, my reason was vain. I just wanted to, buy new dresses. I just wanted to do that.
And why
And
not?
so,
Absolutely.
yes. And so that would be one. The
Yeah.
other is launching Voss and Voss still being here after the pandemic. I know many businesses, big and small, that aren't. And I'm so thankful that we're still here and evolving and coming out with new and exciting ways to serve our community. And I think the third is traveling to new locations to be able to build work and personal relationship with leaders that want to make an impact on their community, whether it be in India or whether it be in Africa. Or thank goodness I can finally get back to the Middle East now that things have opened.
Yeah.
It's not closing the deals. It is the relationships you build with fellow leaders that want to make impact. And that is one of the milestones I'm also very thankful for.
Amazing, amazing. And my last question to you, and this is for the many, many young people who will listen to our conversation and all your words of wisdom. What would your advice be to a young individual starting off on her or his journey in the corporate world or as an entrepreneur?
My number one piece of advice is to trust yourself. So many times we, especially as entrepreneurs, we get involved in programs or courses or conferences and gurus and mentors, and all of that is it's needed. But when we really think about it, we went to those resources because we had an idea, a vision, something within. And
Correct.
I believe that you need to trust that. Like I come from a family that's it, always have had their own businesses. My parent, like way before social media, I think people freak out with the thought of, I have to use social. There was a time where that was not around. And so you have to trust yourself. The second for those that are in executive or career position is trust your professional instinct.
Right.
And do not go along to just go along. I believe that if we are true to ourselves and we are being leaders, and a leader is not someone with a title, a leader is someone who shows up and leads every day, whether they're, being able to go into a position as an analyst and you get your work done, whether you're a customer service person or whether you're the CEO of a company, a leader is an inside thing, not an external
Correct.
thing. And I
Correct.
would say, do not go along to get along. If you see one of the things that really helped me in my career is with respect and in the right way, I did not agree with the status quo, but I brought another example for my boss to see. I didn't just say, well, that's a bad idea. I would say, well, I can see some gaps in that. What if we also tried this, that, and the other? So I came together to contribute. And unfortunately, in the workplace nowadays, I've seen too much of a trend where people feel entitled to get the position or entitled to be heard, I am sorry to burst your bubble. You're not entitled to anything.
That's it,
You're
absolutely.
entitled to what you built the foundation and relationship with. Let your character speak for you through the work that you do, not the words that you speak.
Well said, well said. Wonderful. Ladon, on that note of trust yourself and trust your professional instinct, thank you so much for speaking to me. You know, halfway through the conversation, I almost thought all your comments were like an amazing 101 for startups. You know, and you had such amazing comments to make, which every startup entrepreneur who will listen to our conversation would love to listen to. Thank you for talking to me about your incredible journey and starting the Voss Group and the Voss University. And thank you for sharing with me some of your deepest thoughts about the business and about people and human beings. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.